James was writing in the book of James, and one of the verses that really stands out in that book, that is in the book of James, is found in chapter number 1, where James reminds us of this truth, and that is that every good gift and that every perfect gift is from above, and that it cometh down from the Father of lights. You know, this time of year, a lot of folks are focused on buying gifts, and every once in a while, I have to get out there, and this is a miracle in itself, and do a little bit of shopping. And one of those times is around Christmas time, so that I can maybe pick up a gift or two. Amen. And some of you are doing the same thing. You're buying gifts, and some of you are anticipating receiving gifts. A lot of focus on gifts during this time. But James just reminds us here in James 1:17. He reminds us that every good gift and that every perfect gift is from above, and that it cometh down from the Father, that is the Father of lights, the one who does not change, the one in whom there is no shadow of turning, that all good gifts come from Him. And I really believe that we need to be mindful and be reminded of what some of the gifts of God are. If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, that is, that it comes from God, then you and I ought to consider that. We ought to be reminded of what it is, the good gifts of God, what it is that God has given to us. Listen, everything good in your life, if it is characterized by good, has come from God. And He's the one who defines what is good and what is evil. What is good and what is bad is defined by this one who is goodness in itself, and that is the one who is the God of this universe. And we find that He gives us good gifts, and we find that we need to discover what some of those good gifts are. And that's what we're going to begin doing, beginning in the service this morning and continuing for a few services. This is a little series of messages that I've simply entitled The Gifts of God. And the gifts that we want to focus on for a little while this morning are what I'm going to simply refer to as the gifts of divine supply. The gifts of divine supply. Many of you remember that verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, where the Bible tells us that God will provide and supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. That God is willing to supply everything that we need, all the supplies that you and I need. God is the one who provides all of them. God gives us divine supplies. He's supplying all of our needs. Don't you like Psalm 23 when the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the idea of that is this, is like a sheep, I have a shepherd who provides for all of my needs so that I don't lack for anything that I need. I have somebody who is providing, that is divine supply in my life. God's good gifts of divine supply. He's been blessing you and giving you a lot of good gifts in your life as well. Now I want us to recognize that for just a little while this morning so that we can be thankful, so that we can be grateful, and so that we can recognize what it is that God has been doing around us. First of all, let me just mention to you that one of the areas in which God has been supplying our needs is in the area of our physical needs. That is the needs of the body. Did you know that because of God's good gifts that the needs of our body have indeed been supplied? You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, I'm talking about the need for food and the need for shelter, the need for clothing. That when God created the human body, God created our body with certain needs that need to be supplied, and God is the one who has been supplying those needs for our lives. Listen, it is because of God's gifts that our physical bodies are supplied. And you and I ought to recognize that. Jesus was speaking about that, by the way, in Matthew chapter number 6. It's in that verse, in that passage, in that Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was telling that crowd gathered with Him that they needed to make a decision. Either they're going to follow God or they're going to follow what Jesus called mammon in verse 24, or money. It's either going to be God or money in your life. Listen, you can't worship both. It's going to be one or the other. And then He begins to describe to them the fact that our God is the one who supplies all of the needs of our physical body. Listen to what Jesus said to them in verse 25. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." And the idea is not never to think about it. The idea is don't be allowing your life to be consumed with this. That is, take no thought for your life, that is, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you'll put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Jesus is saying, don't become overly consumed with, and just focus on the needs of your body. That is what you're going to eat and what it is that you're going to wear. And then he gives an example in verse 26. Behold, or look at the fowls of the air. There were probably some flying by at about that time. And Jesus said, look at those birds in the air. They sow not. That is, they don't plant seed in the ground. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than them? That is, are you not more valuable than the birds of the air? Don't you think that if God makes sure that the needs of the birds are met, that God is going to meet your needs as well? Listen, he says in verse number 27, which of you by taking thought, and the idea again, by being overly consumed and by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, he's saying, listen, can any of you, that is, by thinking about it, worrying about it, being consumed about it, can you add one more inch to your height? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say to you that if it were possible, then I would be 6'4" right now. Amen. But it's not. You can think about it. You can worry about it. You can stew over it. And it doesn't change anything. And they tell me when you get a little bit older, you even shrink a little bit. Amen. That's what they say. And I am in trouble. Amen. Yeah, Jesus is saying, why are you worried about what you're going to feed your body? And why are you so overly consumed about the size of your body? You say, Pastor, listen, that's pretty funny, you know, being short and everything. But some of you are worried about the size of your body in other kinds of ways. And listen to me now, while you and I should take care of ourselves, our life is not about the size or the shape of our bodies. Are y'all still with me? It's not about that. It's not about how tall you are, how short you are, how skinny you are, how not skinny you are. Amen. It's not about that. And listen, we're so consumed about the things that Jesus said, listen, we're worrying about the things about your body. He's speaking to us, isn't he? Because in America and in our lives, many of us, we're consumed with these kinds of things. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and the size of our body. And by the way, in verse 28, why take you thought for raiment, what you're going to wear? Why consider the lilies of the field and how they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. That is, they don't go out and have to make clothes for themselves. The idea of spinning is making your clothing. They don't make clothes for themselves, that is, the grass of the field. But look out across there and look at how beautiful they are. Look at it. He says in verse 29, yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, King Solomon, was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothes the grass of the field, if he does, if God takes care of that, that is the grass that today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? That is, listen, won't God take care of the needs of your body? Verse number 31 says, therefore, he gives us now a conclusion. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. The lost are seeking after those kinds of things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Notice now, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the needs of your body, will be added unto you. He's trying to align our priorities and tell us here that the most important thing is to know God. And it's not about eating. It's not about drinking. It's not about your body. It is about knowing God. It's about being a part of the kingdom of God. God knows what it is that we need. Now, you and I shouldn't use this passage as an excuse to be lazy, and you'll see that in a few moments. But I tell you that what it says is this, that is, when you surrender your life to Christ and begin to follow Him, He will indeed be the one who has the divine supply in your life. When He is your shepherd, you will not want. Now, let me just preface this a little bit. When we're talking about God meeting our needs, we're not talking about God meeting our greeds. Amen. That is, don't get your need confused with your greed. Here's what you need. You need something to keep you from starving to death, and you need some clothing that is for today. You don't have to have a closet full. If you've got an article of clothing to wear and you've got enough food to get you by for today, then your need has been met. Are y'all still with me? And God is saying that He'll supply the needs of our body. That's what Jesus said here. God will supply our physical needs. Now let me just break this down a little bit for you. And as you study the Bible, you'll find out that God supplies our physical needs by at least three different avenues. There are three different avenues that God will supply our needs through. I call them the 3M. First of all, there is miraculous supply. Sometimes God provides our physical needs in a miraculous kind of way. in a miraculous kind of way. I think about all the miracles in the Bible where God supplies people's needs. That is, you see the miracle in the garden. Remember whenever Adam and Eve, God created them and placed them in the garden? You know what was already in the garden? Why, all those trees in the garden. And God said to them, listen, you can eat from all of the trees in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You say, how'd those trees get there? God just miraculously created that place, and there God has supplied the physical needs of Adam and Eve in the garden by miraculous means. Not only did God do it in the garden, but there's also the miracle in the wilderness. Some of you might remember that when God called these people, the Israelites, out of Egyptian bondage, and they wandered around in the wilderness, that God had to supply them miraculously with food and water. And that is, there was the manna that came up on the ground every morning. Remember that? And remember the quail that God sent in on an occasion or two. God miraculously supplied their food. And there were times whenever God miraculously supply their water. I remember reading one time in Exodus 17 when Moses struck a rock and water came out and their needs were indeed met. God miraculously supplied their needs not only in the garden but also in the wilderness. Did you know that God supplied miraculously for Elijah in 1 Kings 17? That is, there he is down by the brook Cherith, and God, there's a famine in the land, and the earth has dried up and the rain is not coming down, and there's a drought and a famine, and God said to his prophet Elijah, if you go down here by the brook, I'll take care of you. And God did. Did you know that there were ravens that had a divine assignment to bring him some food to eat? That is, the birds brought him food so that he could sustain himself. And God miraculously supplied his food down by the brook. A little bit later on in the same chapter, there was the widow of Zarephath, and her and her son was going to eat their final meal and die, and God sent the prophet and he ate it instead. And do you know that God miraculously supplied for them everything they needed? They had all the food they needed. Miraculously, God made sure that all of their needs were being met. I remember reading about Elijah under the juniper tree in 1 Kings chapter number 19. And do you know that when he was down there discouraged, old Jezebel was chasing him down, and she was going to try to kill him. He was on the run. He was discouraged, went down under the juniper tree, took a nap, and woke up, and there was food laying out there for him on a rock. And do you know that he ate that food, and that meal sustained him for, I believe, about the next 40 days or so. Now that was quite a meal. Amen. God miraculously supplying for him. The miracle in the desert in Matthew 14, Jesus is in the desert place and there are thousands of people who've gathered around. He's been teaching, he's been performing miracles, and the evening comes and the disciples come to him and they said, well, Lord, listen, there's this great crowd and they need to eat, or they're going to be in trouble physically if they don't get something to eat, and we need to send them away before it gets too dark. And Jesus said, we're going to feed them. And what kind of food do you have? And I'm paraphrasing, and they looked around. They found this one little boy, and all they had was just these little loaves of bread and a couple small fish. And Jesus said, let's feed them. And they set them down in groupings, and he blessed it and broke the bread and the fish and began to distribute it. And the Bible says that a whole multitude of at least 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, were fed by our Lord. Listen, what that tells us is this, is that we have a God that can meet our physical needs. Amen. And listen, there are times when God does it in a miraculous kind of way. There are miraculous supplies that God provides at times. Not only does God provide our physical needs through miraculous supplies, but secondly, the second M is what I would call mercy supplies. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Sometimes God supplies our physical needs through the mercy of others. The mercy of others. That is, by the gifts and help that we receive from other people. You see, God has structured everything in such a way that there are those people who help one another as we journey through life. Did you know that God structured the family that way? That's right. God structured the family so that we help each other in times of need. As a matter of fact, whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy about the widows in the church, he said that if there are widows indeed, that is, widows that don't have any of the family whatsoever, and they meet certain criteria, that the church was to help them. But he also said this, if there's a widow in your church, Timothy, and if they've got family, that family needs to take care of them.
As a matter of fact, he tells them in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, if any man won't provide for his own house, if anybody doesn't provide for those in his own family, well, listen to me now, he's even worse than an infidel, that is an unbeliever. What it means is this: whenever God gave us the gift of family, he structured it in such a way that we help each other within our family structure. I'm talking about parents providing for their children. Listen to me, kids. I want you to hear me right now. Some of the kids are in children's church, but the older ones, I want you to listen to me. Do you know the only reason why that you haven't starved to death already? It's because of mercy supplies. It's because somebody's been giving you something. Something that you didn't go out and work for. And I'm talking about mom and dad who've been letting you sit at their table. And you know the only reason why you're not homeless? The only reason why is because of mercy gifts. And that is because you've got a mom and a dad, and they allow you to sleep in their house. You say, well, Pastor, that's the way it is. But I want you to see why it is that way. The reason why it is that way is because of God's good gift to us. That's why. Because God designed the family in such a way that there are parents providing for their children, where there are spouses that are taking care of one another. God brought the structure of the family together so that when parents get to a point in their life that they have needs, that their children and grandchildren take care of them. And all the Anders kids said, I don't hear anything. Okay. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. God has structured our family, hasn't he? So that we help each other. That's mercy supplies. That is, you and I just having mercy on one another. It's not only seen in God's structure in the family, but also God's structure in society. And did you know that God has structured society in such a way so that those who have in society help those who don't have? That is, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 19, when God gave the law, and in the Old Testament, he said specifically in Leviticus 19, he told the Israelites that whenever you're out there, those of you that are the farmers and you're reaping your crops, I want you to kind of leave the corners, if you would. Just leave the crops in the corners of your fields. And that way, those who don't have much, the widows and others who have no means of making a living for themselves, they can come in into the corners of the fields and get them something as well. You say, why would God do something like that? Because God has structured the Israelite society in such a way so that those who have a little more can help those who have a little less. We see that in our society, don't we? And that is so that those who are able to, are able to help those in our society who don't have very much through programs that our government has set up. You say, Pastor, I don't like those, but God made it that way. Do you know that God structured society so that those who have a little more can operate through programs like we have to help those who don't have very much and need a little bit of help? God made it that way. And so for those of you that maybe you receive a little bit of help now and then from within society, you say, Pastor, I'm so thankful for that. Listen, you ought to be thankful to God. God is the one who designed all of this way. It's God's good gifts to meet our physical needs. You see it in the structure of the family. You'll see it in the structure of society. And by the way, you'll also see it in the structure of the church. Did you know that God so designed the church so that those who are able help those who need to be helped in the life of the church? Listen to a couple verses over in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 35. Listen to what it says. Acts 20, 35. Paul said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. That is, those of you that are able to work, help those who aren't. And to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Those who are able to give to those who have a need, you ought to do that. The Bible says in Romans 12, 13 that we ought to be distributing to the necessity of the saints. That is, when the saints of God have a need in their life, those who are able to help them ought to help them. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verses 17 and 18, that is, Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, I want you to give a charge or a command or a challenge to those who are rich. And here's the challenge. Not to be high-minded, not to be puffed up as though you're more important than somebody else, but instead be willing to distribute, willing to communicate. The idea is willing to share with others to be able to help those who have a need in their life. God structured the church so that we're able to help each other. Listen to me now. God a lot of times just helps us with mercy supplies. We have needs in our life and somebody just helps us out. Whether it be somebody in our family, whether it be a structure within our society that we live in, or whether it be somebody inside the church. And do you know the reason why it's that way? It's just God's good gift to us, isn't it? God has just blessed us. He's just meeting our needs. Whether it be through miraculous supplies, whether it be through mercy supplies, or thirdly, it might be manual supplies. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by manual supplies? Well, used 2 years ago, you really had a choice between when you bought a car, what kind of transmission you wanted. And you could either get an automatic transmission or you could get a manual transmission. Let me ask you this. How many of you have an automatic transmission in your vehicle? Oh, yeah. How many of you have a manual transmission? Okay, there's just a few of you. And I know the reason why. And the reason why is, and I figured this out early on after I started driving, and that is when you have an automatic transmission, you can be driving down the road, and I mean, you're just cruising down the road, and you're accelerating, and that thing does all the work for you. I mean, it shifts by itself. It does it all. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is just sit there and maybe wave out the window, folks, when you go by, right? That thing's shifting on its own. You take off from the stop sign and listen, you can just go and it does the work for you. But listen, if you've got a manual transmission, you got to do the work yourself, right? And you got to shift the gears. You got to get that thing going and you got to get it going without killing it. And you got to do it yourself. When I'm talking about manual supplies, here's what I mean. I mean the ability and the opportunity to do some work yourself and earn your supplies. Yeah. In other words, here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, is that sometimes God will supply miraculously once in a while. He might do that in your life. And every once in a while, He may supply with mercy kinds of gifts. That is, folks just helping you out. But do you know the general rule? That is, the general thing is manual supplies. And that is the ability and the opportunity to do manual work, to do the work ourselves, and to earn our own supply. Did you know, now hold on to your head, because I don't want to discourage you with this, but do you know that the ability and the opportunity to be able to work and earn our own supplies is God's gift to us? Yeah. Listen, if you don't have any good thing that happens this Christmas, if you don't get any really good gifts, hey, if you got a job, you got a good one. Amen. I mean, if you got a means and opportunity to be able to work and make some supplies, then you have been blessed. God has really gifted you. Did you know that your job is God's gift to you? Did you know that the abilities you have? Some of you, you have certain abilities. The reason why you have those abilities is because God has gifted you. Listen, the reason why that you have the physical abilities that you do and the job that you do, and the talents that you do, some of you are very talented. It's because God gave you a wonderful gift. And by that means, God is supplying your needs. You say, Pastor, well, I'm the one that goes out there and works and makes that living. No, 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 no. But back up a minute. Listen to me now. The reason why you have legs that get you there is because God created you with legs. The reason why you have a mind that is able to do the job that you do is because God gave you the mental ability to be able to do that. The reason why you have the strength to do the job that you do is because God has strengthened you in that sort of way. What I'm trying to get you to see is what God has blessed you with. God's good gift in your life. Let me just read you a couple of verses, because some of you, you're thinking about your job and you're not believing me right now. Here's Ecclesiastes 3:13. Are you ready? The writer of Ecclesiastes. And also, every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. If you can work so that you can earn a little bit of food and something to drink, that is the gift of God. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says there, that behold, that which I have seen, and here it is, it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. That is, if you can work and make, listen, some of you work and you make enough just to get by, and maybe not even quite enough. Some of you, listen, God has blessed you and you have more than abundance, but I tell you, it's all the gift of God.
Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Let's listen to what it says. I'm trying to bless you today. Listen to what Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says. The Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Listen to this. "For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." He does. "That he may establish his covenant which he swore unto the fathers as it is this day." God is the one who's given you the ability or the enabling to be able to gather wealth and meet the physical needs, that is the needs that you have in your life. There's many of the verses I could give you, but I'm trying to make a point so that I can move on. God is supplying your needs. And that means your physical needs. The needs of the body. God's doing that. God's good gift to you is the supply of your physical needs, whether it be by means of a miracle, by means of mercy, or manual labor. God is supplying your needs. You say, "Pastor, I'm doing it." No, 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 God's doing it. It's just God's good gift to you. So you see, God is meeting all of our needs. There are the gifts of divine supply, supplying our physical needs. But did you know that God is also supplying our emotional needs? You see, not only does our body have needs, our body needs food and shelter and clothing. Our body has needs, but do you know that our soul has needs as well? The inner man. The outer man has needs, but the inner man does as well. For example, our soul has emotional needs, and that is the need for love and the need for acceptance, the need for companionship and connection, the need for peace and joy. The soul has needs. And do you know that just like God has supplied our physical needs, that God has also supplied our emotional needs? That's right. You see, God has supplied our emotional needs by some wonderful gifts that he's given us. And in generally speaking, it is the gift of relationship. The gift of relationship. When I'm talking about the gift of relationship, I'm talking about, first of all, the relationship of marriage. God meets emotional needs by a wonderful gift that he's given us. We need love and acceptance and peace and joy, companionship and connection. And one of the gifts that God has given us is the gift of marriage, the relationship of marriage. Did you know that marriage is a gift from God? That's right, in Genesis chapter number 2, whenever God got done creating, do you know the Bible says he looked at it all and he says it's good except one thing. And that is, it's not good for the man to be alone. God looked at all the animal life, had Adam name all the animals, and among the animal life, everything else that God created, there was not a companion that was suitable to be in relationship with the man. And so the Bible says that God took the rib out of the man and he formed the woman out of the rib and he brought her to the man. And Adam spoke his first words, did he not? And he looked at her and he had to say something and he fell in love immediately. And do you know that marriage began right there with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? And listen to me now, marriage, listen, God's purpose for marriage is to bring completion. It is to bring a complement into the life of those who become one. Did you know that those of you who God's will is for you to marry, did you know that marriage is God's gift to you? It is. And it is a means by which God supplies the emotional needs in your life. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, I tell you that what women need. Women need to be loved and honored and cherished. And do you know who God has commanded to love and honor and cherish them? That is their husband in Ephesians chapter number 5. And ladies, do you know what men need? Men, their emotional need is to be respected and looked up to. And do you know who it is that ought to be looking up to with respect and reverence? It is a wife toward her husband. And so emotional needs are being met in the relationship of marriage. It's also being met in the relationship of parenting. That's right. One of the good gifts of God is the ability for a couple to come together and get married and then have children in that order. That's the way God intended for it to be. And when those children come into that relationship where there is a man and a woman that are devoted to one another for the rest of their lives and they are nurtured and loved and cared for inside that relationship, the emotional needs of that child is being met by those parents who love that child and care for that child and protect that child and nurture that child. Listen, it is met early on. Listen, from the time they're conceived and after they're born in the early days and throughout their lifetime, there's somebody that loves them unconditionally, and it is mom and it is dad. Amen. Emotional needs being met. You see, I didn't figure that out on my own. God made that long before I ever came into the world. Way back in creation, God created humanity, man and woman, so that they could be together in marriage, so they could conceive a child, bring it into the world, and nurture that child. Emotional needs are being met by God by the gift of marriage and by the gift of parenting. Did you know there's also the relationship of friendship?
You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you know that emotional needs in our life oftentimes not only met by our marriages and by our parents and by children, but also in the relationship of friendship. Listen, the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. Those who are real friends, man, they love you and they also care about you as well. And there is a connection between you and your friends. Well, I think about David and Jonathan. The Bible says that whenever David was having a conversation with King Saul, King Saul's son, Jonathan was there listening. And the Bible says there in the book of 1 Samuel that as he was listening, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and he loved him as his own soul. And there was a friendship, a connection between these two men, a connection of heart, a connection of purpose as described throughout the rest of the account of David and Jonathan there in the Bible. Listen, it was a friendship that brought an emotional stability into the life of David when he desperately needed, as well as Jonathan. And maybe you have some friends like that too. And listen to me now, if you do, it's because God gifted you and gave you that friendship. Listen, the only reason why that you and I can have deep emotional connections with other people, whether it be in marriage, whether it be with our children or parents, or whether it be with our friends, the only reason why is because God made us that way. God made us emotional and relational creatures, so that we can have those kinds of connections. We're not like the animal world. We're different from that. And one of the things that's different is the ability to be able to have these deep and meaningful and lifelong relationships with other people, within marriage and within parenting and the friends that we have. Do you know that God meets our emotional needs by also the relationships that we have at church? That is, when God saved us, He connected us to other believers. Other believers that we worship with and that we serve with, and these connected believers are called the church. Believers that are connected together in worship and service are the church. And within this relationship that we have with each other, emotional needs are being met. You know what Jesus told His followers in the upper room? He said, just like I've loved you, I want you to love each other. And listen, by this shall all men know that you're My disciples, if you have love one to another. That's right. You see, everybody needs somebody that loves them and accepts them and cares about them and encourages them. And do you know that that need is not only found in the relationship of marriage, in the relationship of parenting, in the relationship of friendship, but in our relationships at church, where God's people love each other and accept each other and care about each other with God's kind of love. That's the reason why we need to assemble together, by the way, in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 24. And I love these verses. Listen to this. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the church assembles so that we can bless each other and encourage each other and love on each other and care about each other and connect with one another. You see, you say, Pastor, I connect on the internet. I'm talking about eyeball connections. Nose to nose and eyeball to eyeball and putting your hand in somebody else's hand and putting your arm around their neck. I'm talking about speaking words that can be heard. I'm talking about body language that says I love you. And I mean real relationship. Amen. Assembling together. You say, Pastor, I've got a lot of emotional needs in my life. Listen, God has so gifted you that all of those needs can be supplied. You say, what has He given me? Well, there's the gift of marriage, there's the gift of parenting, there's the gift of friendship, there's the gift of church, and then there's the gift of salvation. Do you know whenever we got saved, we entered into a relationship with God? Yeah, a relationship that satisfies the emotional needs of our soul. That's right. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you need to be loved? Well, you know what happens when God saves you, don't you? Romans 5:5. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given unto us. At the moment that a person really gets saved, and I'm not talking about the fake salvation that characterizes the day in which we live. That is, where somebody just joins the church or walks an aisle or makes a profession of faith or repeats something that somebody tells them to repeat. I'm talking about people who really meet God. I mean, when they realize they're lost and separated from God and they surrender to Him and He saves them. The moment that a person really gets saved, ladies and gentlemen, the love of God is poured out on the inside of their hearts. Love becomes a reality on the inside of them.
Not only do we experience the love of God, but we experience the peace of God. The Bible says being justified by faith in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God. Whenever Paul was writing Philippians 4, he tells us not to be anxious about anything. Don't let your life be full of anxiety, but in everything, I mean with prayer and thanksgiving and supplication, let all your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts, your emotions, and your mind. Those who are in a relationship with God, emotional needs are being met. Our need for love, our need for peace, our need for joy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8 that even though we can't see Him, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, Pastor, I need some peace. Amen. I need some peace in my soul. Listen to me now. God has already supplied it. He sure has in Christ. Emotional needs being met. That is, God is supplying all your needs. There's a divine supply source for you. That's right, the gifts of divine supply. God meeting all your physical needs. God meeting your emotional needs. And then thirdly, He's supplying your spiritual need. You see, just like we have a body and a soul, we also have a spirit. You see, our body is that part of our being that relates to the earth around us, our physical body. Our soul is that part of our being that relates to the people around us, where we can have relationships. But our spirit is that innermost part of our being where we can have a relationship with God. Our spirit. We can know God and have fellowship. We're a body, a soul, and a spirit. We are not only physical creatures, we're not only relational creatures, but we are spiritual creatures. And our spirit has a great need. Just like our body needs food, and just like our soul needs relationships, our spirit needs life. The need of the body is food. The need of the soul is relationship. And I tell you, the need of our spirit is life. That is divine life or eternal life. Jesus spoke about this wonderful gift to a woman one day. She was a woman who was searching. She was a woman who was empty. She was a woman who had a great need in her life. She was down by Jacob's well near the city of Sychar. There she was getting ready to draw water from the well. And Jesus just happened to be there and He was resting. And for those of you that are wondering, I'm getting close to being done. But there she is, she's by Jacob's well, and she's resting. He's resting, and she comes along, and she's going to draw water. You see, her water pot is empty. She needs some water. But little did she know that the greatest need she had in her life was not water for her body, but it was life for her soul, for her spirit. And so the Bible says that Jesus began to talk to her, and as He was talking to her, He asked her for a drink of water, and she was stunned by the fact that He, being a Jew, would ask her, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. And she was surprised by that, and she began to engage in a conversation with Him about why that would be. And then Jesus said something like this. He said, "Listen, lady, if you knew the gift of God, then you would have been asking me for a drink of water, and I would have given you living water so that you would never thirst again." I said, "Listen, God has a wonderful gift for you. There is a gift that you can have that will cause you to never thirst again." Now she thought, of course, that He was talking about some kind of magic water that she could drink, and she would never be thirsty again, and she would never have to go and draw water from the well again. And Jesus said, "No, what I'm talking to you about is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A water on the inside, not a physical water, but a spiritual water." He's talking about the satisfying of the inner person with eternal life. You see, here's the reality, and that is that this woman had a great need in her life. It wasn't physical, even though she had a physical need, and it wasn't just emotional. And she was searching emotionally. Listen, this woman is a woman who had had about 5 husbands and was living with a man. She was a woman who, listen, was searching emotionally. She was searching physically, but the greatest need in her life was spiritual. Her need for eternal life. And Jesus told her, "Listen, you can have the greatest need in your life, man, the need for eternal life. Your spirit is dead towards God. You don't know Him.
You don't have a relationship. You don't have His life on the inside of you. And the greatest need in your life is to have Him, His life, your spirit quickened and made alive. Do you know that's what God does when He saves somebody? Paul wrote about this in Ephesians 2:1 when he wrote this. He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You say, "Well, why do you mean dead?" Physically, not dead. Emotionally, no, not dead. But spiritually, dead. Because our sin is separated from God. And when God brings a person to the point of believing or receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, at the moment that God brings you to that point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know that right there in that moment, your dead spirit is quickened and made alive with the life of God? So that now, that part of you that was separated from God is connected to Him. That part of you that was dead is now alive. That part of you on the inside, listen to me, that part of you that on the inside that was separated from God is now reconciled to Him, so that He is now living on the inside of you and you're alive with the life of God, quickened and made alive on the inside. You remember when that happened in your life? Boy, I sure do. I remember the very moment, the very point at which, down there in the altar of that church, when I finally surrendered to what Christ did for me on the cross, there was something that happened on the inside of me. Now, it wasn't like a bolt of lightning. In other words, you know, it wasn't like whenever I get shocked when I do electrical work, right, and get a little buzz. You ever do that? Brother Greg doesn't, but I sure do. And that is, if I do electrical work, listen to me now, even when I think I got it shut off, it'll jolt you real quick. It wasn't like that. Do you know what it was? Listen, when God saved me there on the altar, all of a sudden the peace of God became a reality in my heart. In that very moment that I put my faith and trust in Christ, the battle was over. Listen, the war was finished. I was no longer lost. My sins were forgiven, and there was peace between me and God. And you know what I found out? In that very moment, God made me alive on the inside. Divine life. God met the need of my spirit. He gave me eternal life. Let me ask you something. I know that all of you have been blessed with gifts that meet your physical needs. And I know that just about everybody here has been blessed with relationships that God has purposed to meet your emotional needs. But have you ever received the greatest gift of all? That is the gift that meets your spiritual need. The need of your spirit. The need for divine life. His life in you. What a wonderful gift that God has given us. Gifts of divine supply, supplying all our physical needs, supplying all of our emotional needs, and even supplying our spiritual need when we come to Christ and receive Him as the Lord of our life. The wonderful gifts of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word and Your people. And God, what it is You're trying to say to our hearts, I pray for those who are here, Father, God, that are struggling with their jobs and source of income, that You'll bless them with just peace and direction about that, Father. I pray for those who are here, God, that, Lord, are struggling in relationships. God, the very relationships that You intended, Father, to bring fulfillment, Father. God, that's becoming a difficult source for them. That You might do a work of healing in marriages and in homes, between parents and children, between friends. And God, that we might realize, Father, that all of these people that You placed into our life in relationship with are Your wonderful gift to us. And that, God, these relationships are Your source to bring emotional fulfillment and supply to our life. But God, I thank You most of all that You gave Your Son, laid Him down on the cross, and that the payment that He paid on the cross was sufficient, Father, to deal with our sin problems so that we could have divine life, Your life on the inside of us. Father, I thank You for those who are here that remember that day, Father, when their heart was quickened and made alive. God, I thank You, Father, for that day in my life. But I pray for those who are here that are still lost, who've never come to Christ, that God, You might do that work that only You can do, that You might draw those persons, convince them of their lost condition and their need to turn to Christ and receive and believe on Him. Would You do that work, Father, in these moments we have? Would You do it for Your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.